Blog Talk Radio. There is a fandom in every soul, some brightly burning, some dark and cold.
You're listening to Step Into the Light with Patty Sheen.
Who brings a fire, ignites a candle, and makes his own.
This is the show where Christians share their walk from darkness down a sometimes long and lonely path to the light of healing and fulfillment through faith.
Seek out the hopeless, confused and torn, and hold out your candle for all to see. Take your candle and go light your way.
Right here on Blog Talk Radio. Good morning and welcome to this 20th episode of Step Into the Light on this Tuesday morning, January 26th. Thank you for listening. I'm your host, Patty Sheen. On this show, we talk about the shadows that creep across the paths of our lives at one time or another in the form of such difficult circumstances as abuse, divorce, addiction, fear, debt, heartbreak, guilt, loss of a loved one, and rejection. Conversely, my guests shed light on those dark times with messages of hope, healing, success, perseverance, faith, and love. In case you can't listen to this hour-long show this morning and have other places you need to be, I would like to tell you where you can find us again. I have a website, and it is Patty Sheen, PattiSheene.com. If you go to that website, you will find a link to this particular show right on the very front page. You'll also find that link on the Blog Talk Radio tab, Show of the Week page. Also, if you miss this show this week and you'd like to listen to it a few weeks down the road, I have an archived page under Blog Talk Radio, and it lists all the shows that we have done with a link to each one. So we invite you to have a listen at your convenience. I also have a Step Into the Light Facebook page. I invite you to come over and like that. And my Twitter account is at Patty Sheen. Come on over and follow me. Also have a Pinterest page. And on that page, I have a board that features all of my Step Into the Light guests and some of their books. Well, this was an exciting week in Colorado on Sunday. For those of you who are football fans, our Denver Broncos are going to the Super Bowl, and those of us who are fans of the team are very, very excited. I'm not a particular football fan. I do more or less pay attention to what's going on in the game, but to sit and watch the play-by-play, I don't understand the game, so I'm more of a baseball fan. But still, there was an awful lot of excitement generated. My husband, of course, was watching the game, and those last 2 minutes were a real nail-biter for anybody who's a football fan. Like he said, it seemed like those 2 minutes took 20, and we were sure that they were going to lose it. But they won, and they are headed to California, I believe it is. The game is being played this year. Those of you who remember the Super Bowl from 2014, we try not to refer back to that, but we suffered a 43-8 loss against the Seattle Seahawks at MetLife Stadium back then. And I can remember my sister calling me because she was at a big Super Bowl party. She lives in New York, so she was cheering for our Broncos for me, and she said she was very embarrassed. So anyway, we are hoping that things go very different this game. Well, it's time to introduce our guest. Sherry Burback is a writer of magazine articles, nonfiction works, and poetry. She is the friendship expert for About.com and the author of 100 Simple Ways to Have More Friends. She loves to share about relationships, friendships, and faith. Through her magazine articles, her nonfiction work, and her poetry and creative art. If you have an interest in strengthening your relationships, maintaining old friendships and building new ones, and fortifying your faith, You'll want to stay right here on Step Into the Light on Blog Talk Radio as I welcome Sherry to the show. Good morning, Sherry.
Good morning.
I'm so glad I can hear you. Sherry and I had a little bit of a problem this morning. For some reason, Blog Talk Radio did not want to dial through to Sherry's phone number, and I thought maybe she was just distracted and wasn't answering her phone. So it was like 2 minutes, and I finally called her on my cell phone and asked her to call in to me. So I don't know what was going on with that. But
don't you just love technology sometimes?
Oh, I know. I'll tell you what. And it's given me fits on this show more than once.
Yeah.
But praise the Lord, we're able to hear each other now, and hopefully our listeners can hear us, and we're good to go.
Yes.
Well, Sherry, you've been writing about relationships for quite a long period of time now. And what life experiences of your own laid the groundwork for your interest in writing on this topic?
Well, I think relationships is the one thing that we all have in common. We all want better relationships, I think. And I got started really simply. I met my husband online dating, and mm-hmm. I just got to talking with people about how I went about it. I thought online dating was really fun. Like, I enjoyed it. I thought it was fun. And every time I would talk to somebody, they would tell me that they didn't like doing it. And so I started writing about it just from my own experience. And it grew from relationships as far as romantic relationships to, you know, friendships to relationships with marriage and just about any kind of, you know, person-to-person contact that we have. So over the last 10 or 15 years, it's grown. And it's been a real, you know, it's been a blessing for me to write about that because I think, you know, you take things from your own life and you also learn things as you write about these subjects. So I think it started from something that I took from my own life, but I got tons of people that wrote in and I still have a lot of people that write me every week. And that's really what I pull from when I'm writing articles or books.
Well, I know, of course, I'm not into the online dating since I am a married woman and have been for almost 40 years. But I know that sometimes just through writing relationships, Sherry, I have developed closer relationships with some of the people I know online than with people that I know on a day-to-day basis. So I can certainly understand how online dating would be very appealing to people and fun.
Yeah. It was fun. I think you have to go into it with the right attitude, which was, you know, I had dated a while on my own. Friends had set me up, that type of thing. And I just thought it was a fun way. I was working a lot of hours. I worked in the corporate world, and I worked really long hours, and I didn't have a lot of time to date. So online dating was a good option for me to log on when I was off of work and, you know, chat with people and meet them that way. And
sure.
I guess being a writer, I think, helps too because you are able to write a profile that kind of shows your personality, and I think that's helpful. And then also
yes.
you kind of go into it with this attitude like, well, if it doesn't work out, it's always a good story for later.
There you go. Every life experience counts, right?
That's right, yes.
Now, the difficult part of that, though, can be when you do develop a relationship and you really want to finally meet each other and you live in California and he lives in New York.
Oh, right. Well, you know, the ones that I met were all within, you know, 25 miles of me. So I didn't have that problem, but I'm glad that I didn't have to drive across country to meet somebody. It was just a local coffee shop for all my dates.
I was going to ask, I wonder if maybe there's a way, too, that you can narrow that down on your profile and say, I live in this area. And
yep, absolutely. You can,
okay.
You can
okay.
do it by miles or by, you know, geographic area. So all of my dates were local. And I
that
had over 60
sense.
Dates in 6 months, so I really made use of the site.
Oh, my goodness, Sherry. And now, did you meet your husband from there? Are you married now?
Yes, I am. I've been married for 12 years.
Fun.
Yes, we met on the site, and then we met up for coffee, and as soon as we met for coffee, we just really hit it off.
Oh, how cool.
Yeah.
I know I have friends, I haven't seen them in years, but I know they met through online dating. Her husband had passed, his wife had passed, and they, you know, became involved in the online dating deal, and that's how they met. So yes, it definitely is a very successful means of developing a relationship.
Yeah.
Oh, that's
can
pretty
be.
Cool.
Yeah.
Well, Sherry, family relationships. We all have to deal with family in one form or another, and family relationships can sometimes be the most difficult to negotiate. Do you have steps that you would suggest to resolve major conflicts between family members and relatives?
Well, I think every family has challenges. You know, we always, when we talk about our family relationships, I know people think, oh, my family is the only one that goes through this. No, every family goes through whatever it is you're going through. You know, we all have, you know, big arguments. Sometimes there is estrangement involved, which is really difficult. So I think, you know, the first step is always to kind of step back and look at whatever is going on, how it affects, you know, the family as a whole. Because what you want is to, you know, keep your family intact. You know, you want to be able to, you know, you're not always going to agree on everything. And, you know, family gets complicated as there's marriages and divorces and people move on. And so you always want to respect each other. You know, coming from a Christian perspective, you want to do what God, you want to be the people God wants you to be. So you have to really always take a step back, you know, when you're having these kind of conflicts. And the first step, I think, would be just to, you know, take a step back and pray and get centered in the Lord before you start saying things that you're going to regret. And then if you do say things you regret, you apologize and say, you know, look, this is what I was feeling, and I'm sorry I shouldn't have said that. And really kind of talk openly in a non-judgmental and non kind of like, you know, hurtful way. Talk openly about your boundaries, what you feel comfortable with, and also what you expect. And then keep the communication open. Things get really negative and hard to manage once the communication stops, because then whatever issue it is becomes bigger. You know, we avoid a certain person, and then years go on, and whatever that argument was becomes bigger in our mind because we're not speaking with them. So I think it's harder to do, but I think it's, you know, just agreeing on the boundaries, and every family is going to be different on what's acceptable. So
yes.
So, you know, I think the steps are just to, you know, remember that you're a child of God, figure out what he wants you to do, and there might be times where he needs to do some work in your relationships, and it's going to be rough for a while, and you have to just always trust that he's working to have everything go the way that he would like them to go.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Well, speaking of boundaries, Sherry, do you believe that parents should maintain with their adult children certain boundaries in the areas of family time, expectations of financial assistance, sharing personal issues, things of this nature?
Oh, sure. I think both sides, you know, adult children need to learn how to establish their boundaries of what's comfortable for them, and then the parents need to establish boundaries. And it might be fluid. You know, it's going to change as the children get older and the roles are going to change a little bit. Some families roll through these changes very easily because, you know, the children grow up and they're responsible, and it seems like it's an easy transition. And then for other people, it really is not. And so sometimes there's, you know, the expectation of why isn't my child doing this, whatever it is. And then the children feel like, you know, they're being judged, and it becomes an issue. So I think, again, communication is always the big the first step there. But I think boundaries are an absolute necessity, you know, saying, you know, and when I say boundaries, it isn't like some rigid thing, but it's like, look, I feel comfortable with this, and I don't feel comfortable with this. And then that starts the dialogue from there. But, yeah, I definitely think, especially as adult children get older, you know, it's sometimes hard for parents to understand that their path is going to be different because, you know, God gave us each our own story, so sometimes the children are not going to follow the same path as the parents they might end up in the same place, like married and happy, but it might take them a while to get there because their path is different. So I think it's important to, you know, remember that your child, as they grow, they're a child of God, and they're going to be a complete, you know, they're going to have a lifestyle that's going to be completely different than yours, and that's okay. You can still pray for them and be a part of their life, but just be there as a guidance for them, you know, and remember that whatever they're working through, God is with them working. So when you're establishing boundaries, they're not alone, and you're not alone. You always have him to help you through it.
I know I have two very different situations with my family. I have a daughter and her family who live right here in the same town as I, and we're in a very small town. And my mom, I think, who lives in New York, which is quite a ways away from me because I'm in Colorado, is under the impression that I'm in touch with her all the time. And sometimes we don't even talk to each other for a week because, in my opinion, she has her job. My granddaughter has her school activities and all this. Sure, I go to her games and this kind of thing, but we don't need to be talking to each other on the phone every single day.
Right.
My son, on the other hand, lives clear over in the United Kingdom, and he and his wife live a very different life, and I get in touch with him on Gmail chat maybe once in 2 weeks.
Yeah.
So, and I don't feel that need to constantly be in touch with them. I feel a need to keep them in touch with what's going on here. If there's an issue, for a while my husband was experiencing a considerable amount of health problems, and of course I kept in touch with them about what was going on there. But as far as a day-to-day, Mom, tonight we're going to the movies. Today I'm going shopping. I don't need to know all that stuff. And yet there are some parents who just have such a tight rein on their kids, they just want to know every single thing they're doing. And I think that can be very detrimental.
It can if the child doesn't like, you know, isn't comfortable with that. There are some children that enjoy that as well, like telling every, you know, it really is different for every single person. You can have a child that really likes your communication style and then one that just craves more of it. Or wants less of it, you know. It's interesting how different we all are, even within one family, you know.
Yes. And another big issue today, especially with our economy the way it is and so many people out of work, is expectations of financial assistance. And I know people very well who are supporting their adult children for the simple reason that those children have no other means of support right now.
Yeah.
And yet I think that there needs to be certain expectations, too, on that level as far as, no, I'm not going to send your kid through college. I sent you.
Right.
Sure, I'll be glad to help if I can. But so I think these are other boundaries that definitely need to be talked about and said and communicated about.
Right. And, you know, especially if a parent has always helped a child and they decide now they just can't. They need to communicate, look, I did this because I wanted to help you, but I can't do it anymore. And, you know, I still love you. I'm going to pray for you and I'm going to want the best for you, but I can't, you know, do the same things that I've done in the past. And that's okay. You know, it's about kind of talking about why you're making the decisions you're making. There can be so much assumptions made in a family. It's interesting how you think you know people because you grow up with them, and then you just misread, you know, their intentions sometimes. So it's important to communicate why you're making the certain decisions that you're making, or why you'd like them to, you know, make a certain choice. And it's always a challenge. It's always something I think we're always learning how to do, is communicate better to the people in our lives.
Definitely, yes, I agree. And it changes with our different stages of life.
Yeah.
Well, Sherry, loneliness can be a problem, and it's faced by people in certain professions, especially those that draw on their creative expression, writers, artists, musicians, people who work from home even. How can people in these situations overcome loneliness, do you think?
loneliness is something that happens so much in our society. And, you know, we think we're connected to people because, like you said, we meet people online, we have Facebook and things like that. And yet that doesn't fulfill our need for our person-to-person connection. So especially for the creative people or the people who work at home, I think it can be something where you need to be aware of the signs of loneliness. You know, if you're bitter about people and you're jealous about relationships, you might be feeling that kind of loneliness. And it can manifest itself in different ways with people. I know that I'm very comfortable being alone for a long period of time as a writer, but when I'm feeling a little bit like, you know, like antsy, or I feel like, oh, what's going on, and I'm checking websites to see, you know, what the news is, then I realize I need to call somebody, or I need to go to the coffee shop and talk to somebody in person. And, you know, I think it's understanding loneliness on a day-to-day level, and also if it becomes a big problem in your life and it starts to change your behavior and you start avoiding people because of this loneliness feeling that you have. And it part of it is just identifying why you feel lonely. It is a little bit different for everybody. There are people who have no friends and they're lonely because they just don't have people in their life. Mm-hmm. But there are people who have people. There's, you know, married people who are lonely. And it becomes a different case of, you know, the connection that they desire isn't there, even though there are people near them. So it can be caused by different things that happen in our life, you know, moving, going to new church, that type of thing. But it can also vary depending on who we are personally and what our, you know, what our personality is. So the one thing to always remember with loneliness is it isn't permanent. It can feel really horrible and it can feel like it's going to go on forever. But you can take steps to get through it. And so it doesn't have to be a permanent state in your life. And it does take work. That's the thing about it, is it doesn't, people think you're going to naturally make friends just on your own, and sometimes you do, and sometimes you have to really work at it and get out and meet people and make a point to have a goal of making friends, or a goal of putting yourself out there so you aren't as lonely. It can be hard work.
Yes, it can, and we were going to talk about that further on this morning, and actually we're getting ready to go to a break here in a few minutes, Sherry. So one of the major relationships that we think about is marriage. Mm-hmm. But marriage is viewed by many of our modern day young couples as old-fashioned. And how can we in the Christian community convey the importance of marriage as a solid family structure without coming across as old-fashioned and preachy? Do you have any suggestions for that one?
Oh, sure. I mean, I think anytime we come across as preachy to our kids or anyone else, it's because we're putting our motives in there instead of what God wants for them. So I think the first thing is to emphasize, to have your children, you know, learn about whatever God wants for their life. God might want them to get married, or they might want them to wait, you know, and only they're going to know that. And so I think sometimes we pressure kids into getting married a little bit soon because we think that that's a good thing, and it is, but it only is if it's the right time with the right person for the right reasons. So I think we have to go back to having them really just learn about what the plan is that God has for their life, and to trust that God will take care of them and lead them to the right person for them that they can share their life with. It's more important, I think, to find, you know, the right person and really get married and be committed to it than feel like you have to hurry up and do it because of an expectation.
Yeah, I agree with that. Definitely.
Yeah. So, I mean, I think if kids are saying we're preachy, I think we need to look back and see why they're thinking that, or even ask them, why do you think I'm being preachy? And to listen to what they're saying, because I think maybe it's the message that we're delivering, even with the best of intentions, of course, but, you know, that's the way it can come across.
Well, I think sometimes kids, they don't realize that we have their best interests at heart. and grandkids, they think that we want to be controlling and all this, and they don't realize that we've been down the road.
Sure, yeah.
We know what's there, and of course, at their age, they are so sure that they know it all.
We're so sure we know it all, and neither one of us know, really. We're all still learning, you know.
That's a very good point. That's an excellent point. Well, on that thought, Sherry, we're going to go to a short break.
Okay.
Our listeners will be listening to the little commercials that we have here. And listeners, you are listening to Step Into the Light on Blog Talk Radio. Our guest today is author Sherry Burback. We're talking about relationships and friendships and faith. And we'll be back in about, those of you who'd like to go get a cup of coffee or whatever, about 3.5 minutes.
Are you fighting what seems to be a never-ending battle to take off excess pounds? Have you tried diet after diet, resolved to banish the sweets and starches from your life forever, and fervently prayed for willpower? Author Janet K. Brown let God do the fighting for her, and she won with a 95-pound weight loss that she has maintained for close to 20 years. Now, Janet shares the lessons she learned with her devotional entitled Divine Dining, 365 Devotions to Guide You to Healthier Weight and Abundant Wellness. Allow yourself to be guided through your weight journey with these practical and inspirational daily readings grounded in Scripture, illustrated with many of Janet's own experiences, and reinforced with a short prayer. This toolbox for overeaters combines a 12-step approach with a focus on the need for Christ as the center of your struggle. Janet's passion for diet, fitness, and God's Word holds the hope for you to achieve success as you strive to make choices that will lead to lasting lifestyle changes. Divine Dining, 365 Devotions to Guide You to Healthier Weight and Abundant Wellness by Janet K. Brown is available at Penn L. Publishing, Barnes & Noble, and Amazon. Planning a trip to Colorado this year? 80 miles southeast of Pueblo on Highway 50, you'll find the town of Los Animas, where rich early 1900s American history is preserved within the walls of the John W. Rawlings Heritage Center and Museum. Since the opening of the new museum in May of 2012, the Pioneer Historical Society of Bent County is proud of the accomplishments of its all-volunteer team. Exhibits depict life on the plains in the early 1900s through the replication of home and business structures and possessions of such historical figures as John W. and Dorothy Hogue Rawlings, Kit Carson, Ambassador Thompson, and Ken Curtis, who played Festus Hagen on the long-running western Gunsmoke. Artifacts depict the life of the Native American, rancher, and farmer, and showcase tools of such professions as the cobbler, railroad worker, medical professional, and military. The Grand Hall on the second floor includes several quilt exhibits and an independent order of Oddfellows exhibit. The Old Trail Gallery features unique gifts made by local artists and historical publications of the Pioneer Historical Society of Bent County, such as the Bent County Chronicle. The John W. Rawlings Heritage Center and Museum holds a treasure trove of information for any history buff or historical author interested in events that unfolded in southeastern Colorado in the early 1900s. Located at 560 Bent Avenue in Los Animas, the museum is open Tuesday through Saturday, noon to 4 p.m. Cost of admission is $5 for adults, $4 for children, 6 to 12, with free parking available on site. For further information, contact them at 719-456-6066. If you drop by, be sure to tell them Patty Sheen of Step Into the Light sent you. Would you like an ad for your business, new book, or other product broadcast on Step Into the Light? Contact Patty Sheen at patty.sheen@gmail.com. That's patti.sheen@gmail.com. Now it's time to return to our show.
Welcome back to Step Into the Light right here on Blog Talk Radio with Patty Sheen. Our guest today is author Sherry Burback. Sherry and I have been discussing friendships, relationships, and before we go on, I would like to tell you where you can find Sherry online. Sherry can be found at her website, which is Sherry Burback, and I'll spell that, ChereBurbach.com. Her Facebook page is Sherry Burbach, and her Twitter account is at BRRBACH, and you probably won't remember any of that, so I am going to refer you to my website, which is PattySheene.com, PattySheene.com, and there you will find a Blog Talk Radio tab, and under that tab you will find a page which is entitled Website and Social Media Information, I believe. And there is where I list all of my guests' social media, websites, and so such. So you can find that there, and you won't have to run to write it down or remember. So a few weeks from now, if you think, gee, I'd love to connect with that lady that talked about friendship and relationships on Patty's show, and I can't remember who she was, just go to that website and social media page, and you will find Sherry and all of our other guests as well, and how to connect with them. Well, Sherry, getting back to our conversation, are you there?
Yes.
Okay. I wanted to make sure I had put you back live here. Like I've mentioned to you, the purpose of this show is to encourage our guests to share a dark time that they have had in their lives and tell our listeners how they have come back to light through that dark time. So would you share with us a time in your life when you were either discouraged or depressed or something happened that life just was not good, and how did you get back into a good place?
Yeah, I think we all go through those times. And I grew up in a really rough environment. My dad was an alcoholic, and he was very verbally abusive. He would, from the time I, was a baby, would tell me how, I was worthless, nobody would ever love me. And it really affected, and I mean still to this day, changed the way I think and changed the way I viewed myself and changed the way the choices I made. And I, didn't make good choices for many, many years because I had this belief that that was all true, that, so I would constantly seek out, bad jobs, bad relationships, things, I would ignore the people who treated me well, and I would gravitate towards the ones who treated me horribly. And so obviously my life just went on from one bad decision to another. And that was a hard thing because it's hard to, that's why verbal abuse is so very damaging. It isn't just one person saying something mean to you. People don't understand the depths that verbal abuse can happen, especially when it happens to you from the time you can, when you're very young, from when you're a baby.
Yes.
That becomes what you believe to be true. And even when someone tells you, no, this isn't true, you don't believe them. You believe what you think you know. So I was very fortunate that despite all this, God came to me very young. I mean, I was a toddler, and it wasn't a house where we, went to church or, So it was interesting that I was able to, learn about God and get to know him. And despite that I had this dark time, he was there with me and he pulled me through. And it wasn't until I was about 30 that my father then, who had gone through years and years of alcoholism, ended his life. And I was just, racked with grief and guilt and all the things that happen when somebody does that. And I still had these things that I was struggling with personally. And when my father died, I really felt like God was there saying, hey, I'm here with you. You need to just wake up and, pay attention to your own life. And I really felt that was a turning point for me. And I started to, first of all, seek out help because you couldn't do it yourself. And so I went to therapy and Al-Anon and all these things, and it really changed everything about how I approached my life from then on. So, I write about this time a lot. I write about it and talk about it a lot because I want people to know that despite the darkest beginnings, you can have a happy life. you know, I do have a happy life. I have good relationships now. None of that I thought was possible before, but it definitely is. And it is because, you know, God was there leading me through this time in order to get the help I needed and make choices. And now I can help other people because of that. So I'm in a good place now, but it certainly didn't start out that way. But, mm-hmm. you know, it's okay because, you know, God uses everything. Nothing is wasted. And
right.
I feel like all this experience helps me in writing about relationships and writing and doing all the things that I do. I think it all, God has used it for his purpose. So I'm happy about that.
Most definitely. Sherry, do you have a favorite inspirational quote or a verse of scripture that guides you back to light in dark times? And some people have several, and some people have just that one go-to verse that just pops into their head when things start to go south for them.
Right. I used to for years, and I still like this verse, 2 Corinthians 5:7, which is, you know, for we walk by faith. And not by sight. And I
yes.
would go back to that again and again when things, you know, when I didn't understand something, which was a lot. you know,
most of us, yeah.
Right, exactly. When it's like something's happening, you don't know why it's happening. And I use that as a way to kind of just center myself and realize that God was in control. But lately, I've really been gravitating towards Proverbs 3:5, trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean on not on your own
understanding.
And I love that
yep.
verse because I love that it says trust in the Lord and then that don't lean on your own understanding. I love that part of it too because so often that's what I try and do. And so I've really adopted that one. I think this year I made the decision to, you know, have a word of the year. A lot of people I know are doing that. And I decided to take the word trust. Because I think, you know, as far as God has brought me through, I still have these moments where I don't trust enough. I don't trust like I should to him. And so I'm trying to really work on that. It's like a cobweb that I'm still trying to clean out from my life. And I go back to that verse again and again about, trust in the Lord and lean not on your own understanding. And that has really been a good one for me to focus on this year.
And we've talked about that on the show in previous interviews, Sherry, previous shows where you give something to God and you say, okay, God, you handle this. And then the next day it's, oh, but maybe you can't. Let me take it back. You know, let me
yeah.
worry a little bit about it here because I'm not quite sure that you know the whole story.
Yeah.
And I think we're all guilty of that.
And the timing of it, you know, okay, God, I want you to handle it. What, you're not handling it right now? What do you mean? You know,
yeah,
like,
exactly.
You think,
yeah.
yeah, you know, your expectation for when it's going to be done or when it's always different. And it's hard to totally give it up, but it's a very healthy thing, you know, that God has us do once we can finally master it. So I'm working on that.
Well, Sherry, as with all of my authors who come on the show, I'm sure that listeners are excited to hear about your book, which is 100 Simple Ways to Have More Friends. Tell us about that book, how you manifest your faith through that book, and actually in all of your work.
The book, yeah, I'm really excited about that particular one. It came from just writing about friendships for years, and specifically the questions I got about friendships, which was basically how do you meet the people that are going to be right for you, and then how do you keep those friendships going? Because it's one thing to just meet people, you know, and then another to hold on to the friendships that you have. So I wanted to break it down. We're in a society where everything is a soundbite. You know, we can't seem to, like, you know, pay attention for very long, and I understand that. You know, we're all busy. So the book is about 100 simple tips, and they are very simple. And you can read through them all at once, or you can just go back and read a couple at a time, or however you want to work it. And they relate to the process of, you know, getting out and meeting people, and also improving your own behavior so that you can hold on to friends, and then also what you can do to nurture friendships. So they're little tips, and it's kind of a book that you can sit down and read through, or you can, you know, highlight certain points and go back again and again. So
mm-hmm.
I'm really excited about that one. And as far as how I manifest my faith, I think my faith is so much a part of, you know, my life at this point that I really think that it comes through without me really thinking too much about it. Mm-hmm. I know that God has given me a lot of, I always say God gives me a lot of material, because meaning he has a lot, I've had a lot of things happen to me in my life, and so I try and look at it as a way of him, he's either giving me, you know, ideas for really a great novel one day, or he's, you know, giving me, you know, lessons that I can take and use and help somebody else. Because I think that's what makes it all worthwhile. You know, you can go through things, but if, you know, you're not helping somebody or, you know, taking all this stuff, that the bad stuff, and turning it into something good, then, you know, it feels much worse. And I think when you can help another person, you realize that God is working through you, and it feels good. It makes you feel like there is a purpose to your life. So that's kind of how I manifest my faith through my work.
Well, over time, Sherry, our friendship circles change. Sometimes we move to a different area. We have a different work environment. We become involved in a new church family. We have, actually, sometimes we have a transition in our own interests. I used to be in nursing for almost 40 years, and now my interest is more in writing and publishing and that kind of thing. So how can an outsider develop friendships within already established circles? And I think this relates back to the question we touched on in the first part of the show, where we talked about friendship should be fun, but sometimes they take a lot of work. So can you give us some tips as to how you kind of make your way into a circle that is already established if you have always been an outsider, or in the past you've been an outsider to that particular group?
Yeah, or you feel like you're an outsider, regardless
exactly.
If you really are or not. You know, a lot of us feel like that. Well, first of all, friendships do change. I know this kind of throws people sometimes because they want to hang on to every friendship, but statistically, we replace half of our friendships every 7 years. So
wow.
Friendships are continually changing in our life, and I think that's a good thing. There are some people who are meant to be in our life for a short time and just teach us certain things, and some people are meant to be there longer. So I think we should always approach friendship as kind of this fluid thing and not hold on so very tightly to it, but just allow it to be whatever it is, and that means allowing people to be whatever they are. So when you're approaching a group and you basically want to break in and be part of this group, whether it's something in your church or, you know, a group, you know, activity that you want to join, I think the first thing is just to kind of come in and observe what's going on. Every group has its own dynamic, and I think where people fail when they try and break into a group and become friends is they either try and they want people to notice them, so they stand out and they want to, you know, and they rub people the wrong way, or they want to just blend in, and they blend in so much that nobody notices them. So you kind of have to go about it with, you have to learn what the group dynamic is about, and then just kind of ease in, meaning, you know, you'll have your chance to shine and show your personality little by little as people get to know you, but you have to give it time. And on the other hand, don't blend in so much that you never get a chance to show your personality. Be brave and be who you are, but, you know, temper it and pay attention to the group. Be self-aware and see what's going on in your surroundings. And also make the effort, you know, ask people to do things, you know, ask to volunteer and be a part of things so that you're putting the effort in and not expecting people to just invite you in. I mean, they should invite you in, but it doesn't always happen that way, you know. So sometimes,
exactly.
And you have to always know that whatever you're feeling, other people are feeling that too. So it always seems like everybody knows each other and everybody is friends, but really they're all just wanting to be accepted. So once you know that, it's easier to kind of click with them and give them the benefit of the doubt and get to know them.
Very good advice, Sherry.
Thanks.
Well, do you have suggestions as to how to repair a friendship that has been damaged by betrayal, maybe lack of trust or deceit? And this can be a tough one.
Oh, so tough. It's so hard because when you have a friend that does that, I think the first thing I always feel is like foolish that I became friends with them in the first place. Like, why
yes.
didn't I see that they were like that? And, you know, mm-hmm. so you kind of have to realize that when you put yourself out there, people are going to hurt you. Now, that doesn't mean you should put yourself out there in order to be hurt, but it means the expectation is going to be there that if you're going to put yourself out there, people are not always going to treat you well because they don't always know how to treat people. So, you know, always have a boundary so that when you see somebody is hurting you, you can take a step back and, you know, protect yourself, talk to them so you don't get completely betrayed. But if that happens, really forgive yourself first because, you know, there's nothing you did wrong and, mm-hmm. you know, it's on them. Forgive them, forgive yourself. And then once from and make the decision to forgive before you feel like it. That's the biggest thing. Because once you make the decision, the feelings will eventually follow. But don't wait till you feel like it because you'll never feel like it and it'll just grow.
Yes,
and
true.
You can also forgive somebody and decide that your relationship will be different from now on. You know, society keeps telling us that we need to forget, make up, and then you're supposed to be friends with those people again. Well, that maybe that's not what God wants for you. So really, when you're forgiving somebody, you always have to relate it to him. You might end up friends again and be stronger than before. Or maybe this is God's way of saying, hey, you need to protect yourself a little bit. You can hang out with this person from time to time. You can be an acquaintance of them and be friendly with them and not have any anger towards them. But you don't necessarily have to be best friends with them either. So I think, you know, when it comes to loving one another, that, you know, that commandment we're all given, it's not the same as liking people. So you can not like somebody. You cannot like their choices. You cannot like their lifestyle, whatever it is, but you can love them and treat them well. And that's the same with a friend who's betrayed you. You know, you're going to feel like you want to just either get back at them or never trust them again. Let it all go. You know, put up the appropriate boundaries and then take it from there and see what happens. You know, you're not the only one that's going to determine what's going to happen in the friendship. So you have to wait and see how the person responds to you. If they are totally on board with making amends and moving forward, it's going to be different than somebody who doesn't even get that they did anything wrong or doesn't care. So you really have to, you know, decide, you know, take a look at what they're doing, you know, pray and get a feeling of what God wants for you. And, you know, and forgiveness is the big thing there because otherwise you'll just rack yourself up with anger and hurt.
Oh, absolutely. You can just eat yourself up with that.
For sure.
Well, Sherry, you started a blogging community of which I'm very proud to be a part, a little self-promotion here, called Putting on the New. Would you explain to us where you got that title from and what the purpose is of this blogging community? What prompted you to even start this?
Sure. I love Putting on the New, and I love that you're a part of it.
Thank you.
A couple of years ago, I was sitting in a Bible study, and I had this thought in the back of my mind that I wanted to create a site where women wrote about just stories and everything that was going on in their life and, you know, just a place where women could come and see that, you know, they weren't, you know, alone, that other people experienced the same types of things they did, and just our walk with the Lord and how, you know, I think we have different challenges as women than the men have. You know, we have different things that we're involved in and different ways that we look at our life. And so I just wanted it to be a place where women of all different walks, all different experiences were sharing things about their life, and the only thing they had in common were that they were sisters in Christ. And so I was sitting there in Bible study one day, and we were reading Ephesians at the time, Ephesians 4:24, and there's this line that says, and to put on the new self created to be like God in true righteousness. And I kept thinking about that. What does that mean, to put on the new self? Because it's such a great thing, you know, like it feels like, you know, a new outfit, a fresh slate, you know, just you get up every day and you're different than the person you were the day before. And I liked that part of it. And so I named the site Putting on the New after that particular verse. And, you know, I really encourage anyone to look at the site and, you know, and sign up for the weekly newsletter, because it's the one thing that really I'm just so tickled every time I log on there. I think, oh, you know, everyone has these different experiences, and yet the thing that it always comes back to is their lessons in their walk with the Lord. And And I mean, the sites, the topics, it's all so very different from person to person, but yet
yes.
it still has that one common thread, which I love.
And to explain to our listeners, Sherry has set it up in such a manner that each of us who are a part of this blogging community have an assigned day. Like,
yes.
example,
everybody
my day is the 8th of every month. Yeah.
Yes. Everyone has a different day, and then they, on that day every month, they write something, and it's different every month, and it's really, I think you could agree, right? It's just really a cool place because it has so many different people. I just love the differences
yeah.
between all of us. It's really
yeah.
an interesting thing. Yeah.
I think there's a pretty fair age range there and interests, and most of us do write in one form or another, or we probably wouldn't be blogging, but
right.
it's different writing styles, different lifestyles, different takes on things, and it's just really a wonderful blogging community, so I would recommend and urge our listeners to go check it out, and it is puttingonthenew.com. And that is another link that I will have under Sherry's name on the website. So, a little self-promotion there, Sherry. Never hurts.
That's right. I love it.
I must say you've done a wonderful job with that blog, getting us all organized and keeping us on track with the technology and all that fun stuff, as you and I have conversed about that a time or two. Well, Sherry, I'm curious to know, we only have a few minutes left here, but I'd just be curious to know, has your writing about relationships put you in touch with anyone famous ever? Or someone that you really, really would like to have met?
Oh, well, I would love to meet a lot of people, I think, probably. But I don't know if I've been in contact with anyone famous. I was quoted in a book once with some famous, like, people from pop culture. You know, there was, like, the Millionaire Matchmaker, if you've ever seen her on TV, and some of the
uh-huh.
Real Housewives, and, like, the Top Chef people, you know, this kind of stuff. And
cool.
some designer, Badgley Mischka. And we were all in a book called, I think it was called, What Do You Do When You Don't Know What to Do? And it was basically about an etiquette book for modern day, like, you know, should you blog about your ex-boyfriend or should you, you know, text your ex-husband? It was all these different modern type, you know, etiquette questions. And I, you know, answered a couple about dating. So, yeah, I'm in that book. But I don't think, and I did, I also worked at a site with a couple famous people. I worked at a site that NBC ran and, I worked with, like, I wrote on the site I didn't work with, like, Barbara Corcoran from Shark Tank.
Oh, okay.
And let's see who else is on there. There was a couple, like, more famous people. But I've never actually met, I don't think, anybody famous, you know. So that's all to come, maybe, or not. I don't know.
Well, still, it's fun to kind of have your name associated with those people, you know.
Yeah.
I'm curious, you ever been to a writer's conference?
I have. I went to ACFW once.
Did you?
Otherwise, I'm really a hermit. I mean, I really exasperate my writer friends are really they just really get annoyed with me because I don't really like to leave my house. So I don't really go to very many things, even when I'm asked.
Oh, goodness, Sherry, you need to get out more.
Maybe.
You need to take your own advice.
Maybe. I need to work on it, right? Yeah.
The
relationship person is a hermit. That's the secret. No. I do get out. I mean, I do things, but, like, the conferences and stuff, sometimes I'll get asked to speak or whatever, and I'm like, oh, I don't know, and, you know, I don't know. Maybe I'll do that. Maybe they'll be on my New Year's list of things to
your list of things
here.
To do for 2016. Excuse me, goodness,
yeah.
I'm choking here. I might cough. Managed to keep it in check this whole hour. Excuse me. Well, the problem with me is that I live in a very tiny, small town. And even though there's opportunities to get out and see people, my opportunities to meet with writers is very limited. I have to go to Pueblo, which is 80 miles away, or my ECFW group is in Colorado Springs, which is 120 miles away. So
yeah,
I don't get to really network with writers as much as I would like. I'd love to be a part of a face-to-face critique group or something of that nature, but to drive for 2.5 hours for an hour and a half meeting in the dark, you know, just doesn't
yeah.
work for me. So
that's where being online can kind of come in handy.
Yes.
At least.
Yes, it definitely does.
Yeah.
Well, Sherry, we're down to about 5 minutes, and
okay.
I know that you also have another venue that you like to use to as a creative outlet, and that is your creative art. Would you talk to us a little bit about that, and especially what fascinated me was glass sculptures? Tell us about that. It's like, wow.
Well, yeah, I like to do mixed media art, which is taking different papers and different things that I find and combining that with color and different types of, you know, oil, acrylic, and ink and all that, and creating art, and I, you know, prints from that. So that's been a new kind of business line for me, which has been really exciting. And I'm actually putting the finishing touches on a new book called Art and Faith, and it has my artwork in it and then some, you know, insights as to why the artwork was created. It's usually inspired by a particular Bible verse. So that's
okay.
One that should be out next week or the week after. Also, the glass sculptures, that's something that I started a couple years ago. I'm just obsessed with these. I collect different pieces of glass from rummages and estate sales, and I glue them together into different types of sculptures. And
oh, wow.
Some of them are just, you know, large kind of totem-type sculptures, and some are solar light. They have solar lights in them, and I've even made a couple that are in the form of animals, and they're
mm-hmm.
all over my yard. And what's really interesting is
oh, so they're big.
They're
big.
They're
not
huge.
Something that you would set like on a shelf, then. Oh my!
No, they're big. A lot of them, and they're all outside. And you know, we live in the Midwest, and they stay outside and they stay in good shape because I use the right type of glue. And
awesome.
But. Yeah, I'm really obsessed with these. I just get a kick out of making them, the whole, you know, being outside and listening to the birds and putting the pieces together. And my husband, God bless him, is always like, you know, you think he'd tell me to stop making them by now, and he's not. And so, you know, we moved houses, and I had one of those on the porch, and the guy wrote it into the offer. He, like, actually wanted that sculpture that so much he wrote it into the offer, so we left
Funny.
It there for him. So
oh, that's neat.
So I'm not the only one crazy about him, apparently.
Well, you know what reminds me, a few miles from here we have a guy that does all this sculpture stuff in his yard, and I don't even know what he makes it all out of, but he named it, you know, Jurassic Park. Well, he named it Junk, J-U-N-K, Jurassic Park. And it's all this stuff, and he'll have like a replica of, well, for example, because it's so popular right now, maybe a Star Wars character or something
yeah.
like that, that he's just made out of all this fascinating stuff.
I love it.
Oh, that just sounds cool. Now, do you have any pictures of that on your site? I hadn't noticed.
I do. I actually have a book about glass sculptures, too.
Oh,
I have.
Gee, I'll have to check it out.
I have a book about how to make them, and there's pictures. And I've got pictures on my site, too. I think there's a special, like, link for them. So, yeah, you'll have to check it out on my website. I do have
absolutely.
Pictures of all the ones I make.
Well, Sherry, sadly, I love doing the show, but this is the one part that I don't like, and that's having to tell my guests that we're out of time, which we are. So I want to thank you ever so much for being on the show. I want to thank our listeners for being with us. I'd like to remind listeners again to go to Sherry's website and her social media outlets, but also go to my website, which is pattysheen.com, and you will find all that information under the Blog Talk Radio tab and the website and social media page. So once again, Sherry, thank you ever so much. I'll be in touch with you. God bless you.
Thank you. God bless you too.
In closing, when you look back on the dark periods in your life, you may find they were not quite as dark as they seemed at the time. And when the light does shine again, it is so much brighter than you remembered. Hope to see you back with us next week. That will be Tuesday, the 2nd of February at 8 a.m. Mountain Standard Time. And go to the website at pattysheen.com for our archive shows. Thank you for spending some time with us. God bless you all.